Steve Doocy, our pal over at Fox News, Fox and Friends, you know, for a long time people would try to dismiss him as he's the weather guy. He's more than that. He's the news guy. He's the dad. He's the voice of America, in effect. He is the conscience of an angst-ridden nation. That's a great book title, isn't it? Conscience of an angst-ridden
nation. Nice
ring
to it, Clark.
It's hard to say. Mm-hmm. Mark, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. So I realize that just like the Chargers getting a significant win, or the Raiders losing, or the Dodgers losing, or any of these things, that America needs Steve Doocy. My first thought was, well, he's cranking out another book, and he does very, very funny books. But reading the book is laugh-out-loud funny, so it actually relieves stress. But when I looked at the title of the book, I thought, Steve, your timing's off, because this is a Father's Day book. And now it's fall. It's autumn. Bad timing. But no, the more I read this, and I have read it now, Tales from the Dad's Side, Misadventures in Fatherhood, this is, dare I say, America's book. Have I given you enough things you can use in book reviews so I can get a shameless quote attributed to me, Steve?
Conscience of angst-ridden father.
Uh-huh.
How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well, sir. Are you in your jammies now for the post-game wrap? What do you do after Fox and Friends? Do you just go back and collapse?
No, what's happening right now...
Because I've seen your office, and it's very sensible.
And Cavuto's working on my quads.
Okay, good. Well, it's good to know, because it's very, very posh there at Fox. Now, on the front cover here of the... sensibly appointed, I know. The children on the front cover, when I first got the book on Friday, I thought, well, these are stand-in kids. But they've actually, using technology, these are your actual children, is that correct, at various stages in life?
Yes, we have put them in the Wayback Machine. And, in fact, it features my son Peter in floaties. Peter now is 6'5". And if you've been watching the presidential campaign, you know that Peter put an extremely embarrassing and hard question to John McCain and absolutely flummoxed him. So you got the boy in floaties. He looks like he's about 4 feet tall there, probably 5 years old. Mm-hmm. My daughter Mary, who just started college up in Boston, she's wearing a little top that I don't think is actually covering the appropriate part.
No, I don't think so.
And
that may be still available for collegiate students now, though.
Sally's has been digitally. We've moved her back via time capsule to a time when she was into tutus before I was.
Yeah, and then your other little daughter there, looking all quaint and sweet. Quaint.
Yeah.
All quaint. Yes, quaint and sweet. I'm making up all kinds of words here. The scary part is...
Al Haig.
The scary part is, because you and I are about on the same stretch of life here in baby boomer land, that you are there in the bathrobe and the slippers and your ankles are showing and piles of newspapers and a cup of coffee. That is me early morning. So this is too shocking to me. But this book is laugh-out-loud funny. Now, a lot of people will say that. A lot of books are unintentionally laugh-out-loud funny. This is laugh-out-loud funny. In fact, Mrs. Larson looked at me yesterday and kept saying, what is wrong with you? I said, I'm reading Steve's book. And I purposely said, I'm going to do this during the Chargers game so that I will actually, you know, in case it doesn't go well, I'm going to just get the endorphins going.
Sure. No, I completely understand. You know, Mark, just like you, as a father, you've got a million stories, and some of them are absolutely tragic about crazy stuff you did.
Well, like when your sister got run over by the family car.
My sister did. My mother ran over my sister. And don't worry, folks, she's fine.
She's fine, but good grief.
But then my dad, you know, felt guilt-ridden because he wasn't there, and he had to, you know, he was out of the picture for a couple of hours until we located him. This looks at all things dads do through the arc of fatherhood. And for me personally, it started with the day my son Peter was born, right up to the day I tried to pay for his college with bonus miles.
Yeah, that's that didn't work very well, did it? Steve Doocy with us from Fox News, Fox and Friends, and his latest big hit book, following up on the Mr. and Mrs. Happy Handbook, is Tales from the Dad's Side. And I was reacquainted with some parts of your life and your lovely wife Kathy's life that I knew, but I needed to get a refresher on this. You literally married the voice of Chatty Cathy.
Yes, my wife Kathy grew
big
up in
celebrity.
Encino.
Yeah,
and we've been married for 22 years now. Grew up in Encino, across the street from Roy Rogers. Her entire family, all good-looking blonde kids. They did a ton of commercials, and she actually was Chatty Cathy in the commercial. She played the little doll that comes alive, and she was the little doll.
So as a little kid, there you were, unbeknownst to you, what God had planned for you, and the two of you coming together. You're watching the TV commercials we all watched back in the 60s, and there there was the Chatty Cathy commercial in glowing black and white. Mm-hmm. You had no idea, as a prepubescent child who was just a little too attracted to Chatty Cathy, actually. you hear this little voice, and you thought, isn't that charming? Later, you're married to Chatty Cathy's voice actor.
And now, Mark, it is normal for a wife to say the same thing over and over and over and over. Right?
Yes.
It's not just the fact that I married Chatty Cathy. Wives do that, don't they?
Well,
now, I know husbands do.
Now, I know that she is incredibly happy, and the two of you, as you've written in your previous book, the Mr. and Mrs. Happy Handbook, you get along incredibly well, despite the fact that you're telling stories that wives may not like having told. You do refer to her, when she's in the wonders of childbirth, as Amy. You said, think Amy Winehouse in stirrups. Is that playing well at home? Are you on the couch for a couple of days? How's that working out?
Listen, I gave her my first draft copy, and I said, is there anything bad in here you want out? Mark, there are five stories that will never be taken from the family vault. She found them so potentially libelous. But the one regarding Amy Winehouse and stirrups, I was just talking about how the fact that when my wife was giving birth, you know, she had an epidural, but it just wasn't, it wasn't cutting the mustard, baby. So she just, and she had this thing that we referred to as the pain boy, because it was kind of like you'd push a button and a shot of something would go right into her spine.
On demand.
Southern portions. Mm-hmm. But she'd pushed it so many times, pain boy out of pain medicine.
Well, it's there's so many things that, again, if you're a baby boomer, this book is going to relate to you in a lot of strange and mysterious ways, but especially as a father. But I'm telling you, it is laugh-out-loud funny, even for someone who is, say 20-something. In fact, you know, my daughter, and you've met my daughter,
yes,
when we've broken bread and all of that, and she will love this book. She read the first one, and she's laughing. And again, she's not right there coming from baby boom land. But what's weird is I keep finding more things where you and I are on the same life page. For example, having grandma make you watch soap operas. I, too, watched The Secret Storm with my grandmother and The Edge of Night.
Yes!
It was weird. I mean, I'd be over there because Mom would say, well, you know, they're a couple blocks away. Go to Grandma's house. So I'd go up there, and we'd end up watching this with the weird organist, you know, doing all those things you write about. It was this something that grandmothers did in the 60s, or did they go to some school to learn this, to warp us as children? What's the deal with that?
Well, just remember, back in the day, not many women were actually in the workforce. So what would the women do? My mom was working at the time at Snap-on Tools.
Oh, my. See, everything's different now. You mention that now, it sounds like a whole different topic.
It does. But a lot of people watch those stupid shows. And I say stupid because if you call it Secret Storm, why isn't there an actual storm?
You thought it was an early weather channel, and you're disappointed. Now, you also disappointed your child, well, almost killed your son, when you're out there fishing and said, go get some more worms.
Well, we were out in the mountains of New Jersey, the Ramapo Mountains, and look, it's hard to find a good night crawler in New Jersey because you hate to put a shovel in the ground. You might turn over half a Jimmy Hoffa, and the ground is just outright hard anyway. So we eventually did locate half a worm. We took it to the father-son scouting fishing derby, and the worm was dead. Finally, I said, Peter, while I go over to the porta potty, because I just had a jumbo Dunkin' Donuts hazelnut, I said, you just go fish around here in those tall weeds over there and find us a nice, juicy night crawler.
Mm.
Well, when I came back a few minutes later, there he was, struggling to put this wriggly little thing on the hook, and I noticed, wow, that is really oddly marked and colored. It was a water moccasin. Hey, baby,
a poisonous
water moccasin.
Water moccasin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I took him to the emergency room just in case.
That wasn't your first visit to the emergency room.
No.
You are a violent barbecue host. You cut off your finger. See, I never realized that. They must have done an incredible... Not that I said, hey, let me see your digits last time I saw you in New York. But this was a shocking story to me. And again, you are, as so many men, the king of the barbecue. And you managed to cut off your fingertip.
Well, here's the thing. I had the grill going. We had the meat in there. I had some corn grilling on the side burner, or rather boiling on the side burner.
Well, who doesn't?
I had some bread, a torpedo of French bread toast. And I thought, I'm going to just show my wife that I am great behind the wheel of a grill, and I'm going to bake some brownies. So I mixed up some brownies, a whole plate of them, and a tin of them, and I put them on the thing, and I baked them for the prescribed 22 minutes or 25 minutes. And then when it was time to take it out, I waved it in front of my wife. Look, I don't stink after all in the kitchen. She was thinking, oh, that looks really good. As it turns out, as I tried to hack through it, it looked like a brownie on the top, but it was an absolute carbon briquette underneath. Mm. So I went and I had my daughters get me the Widowmaker, we call it, because it's a really sharp knife that can cut through beer cans, just like the TV commercials. And I was able to form a couple of two-inch squares, but the top was soft and the bottom was hard as a rock, so I decided I would fillet it. I did just that, but I hit the soft spot and I lopped off the top of my finger, and my wife drove me to the I told you so entrance of the emergency room.
How much did this, Steve Ducey, make you a better television personality? Because you're a big, big star, Fox and Friends, now big author, all of that. How much of this character building would you say is really credited to being who you are and the giant box office matinee idol that you've become?
All I can say is when a politician says, I feel your pain, mm-hmm. I have felt that pain.
And you've taught, well, you say three things that a boy learns best from his father. And those three things are?
Well, how to tie a necktie.
Uh-huh.
Also, you should learn how to pee standing up.
Yes.
And, you know, that's really,
That's probably number one, isn't it?
Well, that is number one.
That is number one when you think about it.
And the other thing is how to shave your face without losing a nostril.
That's important. And how to cheat at Soapbox Derby, the Pine Box Pinewood Derby with the Cub Scouts.
Look, here's the problem. My father is a very kind and gentle man, and at the Pinewood Derby, this would have been in about third grade, it was me and my friend Curtis and all of our den mates from our den, and my dad said, hey, come here, Steve, let me squirt this on your wheels. And this had been after we'd spent 2 weeks working on our Pinewood Derby. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. But my dad was using the hushed voice, much like you would expect an athlete to be using while buying performance-enhancing drugs at the Olympics or something like that. So he said, hey, Curtis, come here. Let me see your car, too. And he put this graphite on my car and Curtis's car. Well, to make a long story short, Curtis won. I came in last.
See?
Fast forward.
Again, character building.
Yeah, sure. Go forward another generation. There's my son and I. We're in the church basement. We're racing our Pinewood Derbies. But before we get started, I got out the graphite. A little kid came over and said, hey, what's that, Mr. Ducey? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he goes, listen, my dad says that graphite isn't nearly as good as this stuff. And he had this little vial of stuff. And he said, you want to use it? And I said, absolutely not. Well, to make another long story short, that kid beat my son. So losing the Pinewood Derby, a family tradition.
That's a beautiful thing. Steve Ducey with us. The new book is Tales from the Dance Side. I found one error.
Yep.
You know which one it is?
No idea.
Well, it's this song. Hit it. Scott, roll this song, would you? In the second chapter, Mr. Ducey, School, Don't Eat the Paste, that chapter you open with this. During the mid-60s, there was a popular hit that seemed to be on our AM radio whenever Paul Harvey was not. Sonny Bono and his wife Cher sang Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. It was the early 70s, Steve, not the mid-60s.
Well, see, actually, I was working with the Psychic Friends Network back then, and I was writing lyrics for future songs.
Oh, well, no wonder. I just want to make sure, because I don't want somebody, you know how people will fixate on one thing, and that's just,
you're,
you know.
You're absolutely right about that.
I was in disc jockey land then. I know these things. I thought that's not right, and I went back to my Joel Whitburn archives, and he did it with nothing else to do. Tracks, the years songs came out. So.
What year did that come out?
Like 70, 71. 70,
oh, that was a classic.
Yeah. But see, the thing is, the 60s technically lingered into the early 70s, the 60s mindset. So I can understand it was a well-intentioned gaffe.
Listen,
on your
the
part.
60s linger in my town.
Yes, they do. Well, we can't linger any longer because we have a break coming up. The book is Tales from the Dad Side, Steve Ducey's new, really laugh-out-loud, fun, very revealing book. Read about his, well, there's a couple of naked stories in there, and how your backside was plastered through your school, and yeah. Again, you rose above that.
Thanks for wearing pants.
Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate that coming by. Thank you, Steve. God bless your heart, and sell a lot of these books. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
You're buying
much
dinner next, by the way. Okay, San Diego 1700.